Hello everyone, I made a video, sent out a video earlier today warning you about a false teaching going out from our friend Alan Hess. This is unfortunate that this is happening, but it's a serious false teaching. And so I'm going to elaborate on this today, and I'm going to show you more evidences that it is a false teaching. And this will be a further warning to you that when a teaching is based on a mistranslation, then the foundation is faulty, and then everything built on the foundation is wrong. And so everything Alan is building on that foundation in his four videos, two that are done, two that are upcoming, is not dependable at best. And so you need to be warned about this, because what Alan is saying is that there's only one gospel in the New Testament. Subsequent to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is only one gospel, and it is Paul's gospel. Peter is in it. Peter is a member of the body of Christ, adhering to Paul's gospel, and that would mean that all the other circumcision writers are. Every letter in the New Testament is no longer distinctively circumcision, because these writers wrote subsequent to the time when Alan says the era of grace began, which strangely enough is before Paul was even called. It began at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are many, many problems with this, but the big problem is Galatians 2:7. Paul talks about him being the caretaker, being the bringer of the message of the uncircumcision, according as Peter, of the circumcision. And Alan said this, it's very interesting, in his second video called Paul's Gospel is the Only Gospel. He said that after his first video called Peter and Paul, he said three people called him to say, but Alan, Galatians 2:7, this blows up your whole theory here. Galatians 2:7. There are two gospels. It says it right there, Alan. There's the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. And Alan was amazed that three people could call him with this one verse. And he was almost rolling his eyes at that idea. How could three people? I'm not kidding you, he says. I'm not kidding you. Three people brought this verse. Alan, that's because this verse blows up your entire theory. That's why they brought that verse. It's an important verse. It proves that there are two gospels. Proves. One's called the gospel of the circumcision. One's called the gospel of the uncircumcision. The chief of the circumcision gospel is Peter. And the chief of the uncircumcision gospel is Paul. Very, very simple. Very straightforward. There's a huge difference between to the circumcision, to the uncircumcision, then of the is the character. And again, Alan is saying that of and to are interchangeable. Just because of is in the Concordant version, just because of is in the King James version, just because of is in any well-translated version that has Galatians 2:7 right, just because that, it doesn't mean that. We could make it two if we want to. No, you can't. I showed you yesterday, all of you, in the Greek, how it is impossible for this to be anything but of. Of, again, shows the character of a thing. The gospel of the circumcision, it's the character of it. It's the nature of it. The gospel of the uncircumcision is a different gospel. Peter and Paul are not taking the same gospel to different groups of people. You could get that idea if the word was to, but it's not to, it's of. That's why those people who wrote you, Alan, were giving you this verse. Because the right translation destroys your argument. Absolutely destroys it. Your whole teaching now is based on a misunderstanding and a mistranslation of that verse. So everything you're building on this is flawed and faulty. It doesn't hold up. Peter, in fact, did have a separate gospel from Paul. Now, I told you that it's not the first mistake Alan makes. In his first video called Peter and Paul, he starts off on the wrong foot by first of all reading from the King James Version. And when he gets down to Galatians 1:6, makes a critical translating mistake, because here the King James has a wrong translation. I'm going to explain that to you. But Alan starts off reading Galatians chapter 1, and he gets down to here, verse 4, talking about, now I'm reading from the Concordant, that Christ might extricate us out of the present wicked eon according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. But when Alan read this, I just think this is an interesting side note. He said, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We all know that forever and ever is a horrible translation. It is used by Orthodox Christians to support the doctrine of eternal torment, because it being mistranslated, the ion of the eons of the eons is the proper translation. When they mistranslate it forever and ever, it's used in other places of the Bible to support eternal torment. And they will be away from the face of the Lord forever and ever. They will be burned forever and ever. They will be doomed forever and ever. So this doctrine that Alan hates, the doctrine of eternal torment, he hates it. Thank God, he hates it. But he's reading a version and using the very words that are used illicitly to support eternal torment. I just find no excuse for that. No excuse for that. But anyway, here's the problem as touching this topic. In Galatians 1, chapter 6, Alan, reading from the King James Version, which has been convicted of containing over 20,000 translating errors, talks about, I am marveling that thus swiftly you are transferred from that which calls you in the grace of Christ to another evangel, which is not another. That's the King James. That's nonsense. To another evangel, which is not another. Is it another or is it not another? Which is it? Another evangel. So in this context, I'm taking the King James now, which is wrong. This is a wrong translation, and I'm going to show you why. In this context, you only have two gospels to choose from. You have Paul's gospel, and you have this another gospel. And Alan said, this verse proves, even though it's a mistranslation, this verse proves, he says, that there's only one other gospel, and it's the false gospel. There's another gospel, which is not another. And he says, Paul there is referring to the mixed gospel, the gospel that the false gospel, the air quote gospel, where the circumcisionists were mixing law in and trying to convince the Galatians to add law to their salvation, add law to the supposed completeness of Christ. And Alan's right that there is a false gospel, and Paul is warning them about that false gospel. But the translation is wrong, and I will show you what a huge difference this makes. Alan says, well, there's only one other possible gospel that could be embraced at this time Paul is writing to the Galatians, and that is the false gospel, another gospel which is not another. But that's not how this verse reads. It's not. I'm going to tell you how it reads from the Concordant Version, and I'm going to tell you why it's important. I am marveling, and this video is not going to be as long as the earlier video today. I'm going to try to skate under 15 minutes. Let's see if I can do it. I am marveling that thus swiftly you are transferred from that which calls you in the grace of Christ to a different evangel, which is not another. To a different evangel, which is not another. Now we have three possibilities. Let me show you why. First of all, here's the translation issue. I went into detail with you yesterday about why I have been entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter, of the circumcision. I told you why that had to be of. It can't be anything but of. Of is the genitive case, and denotes character. And the fact that that's the case, it destroys Alan's entire premise. It destroys his theory, and to me, it wrecks his next two presentations. This mistranslation wrecks his first presentation. You have to get this right. It's important. In the King James Version, another gospel which is not another. The first another is the Greek word heteron. King James looked at heteron, they translated another. The second another, another gospel which is not another, in Galatians 1:6, it's a different Greek word, allo, A-L-L-O. And they translate, the King James dudes translated it another. So they took two different Greek words, heteron and allo, A-L-L-O, and they translated it with the same English word. This is the same crime that the King James translators use when they translate, when they mistranslate hell. They take three different Greek words, Hades, Gehenna, and Tartarus, and they translate it with one English word, hell. And Alan hates that, as he should. He hates it when that happens. But he's not realizing that it's also happening here, and he is relying on this to teach something that can only be wrong because it's built on a wrong foundation. Heteron is translated in the Concordant version different. Hetero, you hear the root word there. Different, which is not another. Allo. Allo does mean another, and it's translated another in the Concordant version. In the Concordant version, recognizing distinctions in God's vocabulary, takes the word heteron and gives it another English word. And searching the context, everywhere this word appears, they determined, Mr. Nock determined that the proper English translation would be different. Why is this important? Paul is saying that you are transferred from that which calls you to a different evangel, which is not another. Now we have three gospels. We have Paul's gospel, but they are being transferred to a different gospel, which is not another. The different gospel is the false gospel, is the bastardized gospel. It's the mixed gospel that would mix law in with Paul's transcendent grace. But there's a third gospel now in the wings. It's this false gospel is a different gospel, but it's not another. In other words, Paul is saying there is another gospel out there. There is another one. It's the gospel of the circumcision. But this false gospel, it's not another gospel. This is not another one. It's a different one. It's different. Another one would be a legitimate one, right? There's no air quotes here. There's another gospel. Yes, there is another gospel. And it's Peter's gospel. It's the circumcision gospel. And Paul would not freak out if people are embracing the circumcision gospel. That's another gospel. But there's, besides the other gospel and besides his gospel, there's a different gospel, which is the mixed gospel, which is the anathema gospel. So Alan is forcing himself into only two choices with the bad King James translation. Another gospel, which is not another. Oh, there's only one. And Paul says it's not another, so it must be the false gospel. But when you realize the right translation and you realize that the King James boys blew it again using one English word for two different Greek words, now all of a sudden three gospels appear here. Paul's gospel, there's a different gospel, but it's not another. There's the different gospel is not another gospel. This another gospel is a legitimate gospel, and it's Peter's gospel. This is reiterated for us. This is once again backed up and fortified in Galatians 2 verse 7, I've been paraphrasing it. Now I'm going to read it directly from the scriptures. On the contrary, perceiving that I have been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision, this is Paul writing, I have been entrusted with the evangel of the uncircumcision, according as Peter of the circumcision. Peter was entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision. And now I'm going to finish with this point. This is what Alan would lead us to believe. He would lead us to believe that Peter, who was entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision, and was he not? Was he not entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision? Who did Peter listen to? Who was Peter a disciple of? Jesus Christ. While he was on earth, Peter and the other 11 apostles, they were followers of Christ. They learned from him. They were taught by Jesus Christ. And Alan Hess admits, watch the first 5 minutes of his video, Peter and Paul. Alan Hess admits that Jesus, or maybe it's the first 10 minutes of his second video. Watch both of them. I'm going to link to them under here. Watch both of them. I want you to watch, especially in light of what I'm telling you, because you will see that what I'm telling you is true. Alan admits that Jesus Christ did have the gospel of the circumcision. Jesus Christ indeed was not teaching Paul's gospel. When Jesus Christ was on earth, Jesus Christ was teaching the gospel of the circumcision. He admits that, yes. But my question to you is, ladies and gentlemen, who was Jesus teaching to? Who was Jesus teaching the circumcision gospel to? Peter, James, John, and the rest of the disciples, anyone who would listen to him. They were hearing the circumcision gospel. Paul backs me up here in Romans 15:8, that Jesus Christ, this is Romans 15:8, has become a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. These were the promises God made to Abraham. And when Jesus Christ was on earth, he was a minister of the circumcision. Says it right there. Who came under his ministry? Peter. Peter lived with him, ate with him, slept with him. So did the other disciples. Alan Hess is asking us to believe that after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the circumcision gospel was gone. It was not in play anymore. Now there's only one gospel. Watch the first 5 minutes of his Peter and Paul. He says that. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. He's yelling into the camera. Alan Hess is screaming to the congregation, there's only one gospel. If there's only one gospel subsequent to the death and resurrection of Christ, then it's Paul's gospel. Yes, Alan said that's the only gospel. Therefore, we're asked to believe that Peter has no other choice now. Peter has had the rug pulled out under him, and he has no other choice but to forget everything Jesus told him while he was on earth, while Jesus was on earth, as a minister of the circumcision gospel. We're supposed to believe, this is ludicrous, we're supposed to believe now that Peter is in the body of Christ. Alan believes that Peter is in the body of Christ. Ask him. If Peter's in the body of Christ, then he has to abandon the circumcision gospel that he learned from Christ. And this is further further absurdity when we read in Matthew 16, that Jesus says to Peter, now Jesus, I'm in Matthew 16, 13, Jesus coming into parts of Caesarea Philippi, asks his disciples saying, who are humans saying that the Son of Mankind is? Now they say, some say John, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Jesus is saying to them, now you, who are you saying that I am? Now answering, Simon Peter, the same guy we're talking about, who slept with Jesus, ate with Jesus, listened to every word that came out of his mouth during his public ministry, was called by Jesus on day one. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, answering, Jesus said to him, happy are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood does not reveal it to you, but my Father who is in the heavens. Now, I also am saying to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will be building my ecclesia, and the gates of the unseen shall not be prevailing against it. And I will be giving you the keys of the kingdom of the heavens. And whatsoever you should be binding on the earth, that's because the kingdom of the heavens is on earth. It's heavenly in character, but its location is on the earth. We know that Israel will be kings and priests, and they shall be reigning upon the earth. Plain scriptural testimony. And Jesus is giving Peter the keys to the kingdom. Jesus said to him, happy are you, for flesh and blood does not reveal it to you. Now I am saying you are Peter. On this rock I will be building my ecclesia. And when Jesus was on earth, he was a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. So the ecclesia that Jesus Christ is building when he's on earth, as a Jew, as a member of the tribe of Judah, he is building the kingdom on earth that was prophesied by Abraham, because Jesus is confirming the patriarchal promises. And Peter is the chief of it. And Paul is confirming that in Galatians 2:7, which makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense that Peter was the minister of the circumcision. Peter was entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision. Of course he was. Why wouldn't he be? Because Jesus Christ gave him the keys to the circumcision gospel, and he was the caretaker of that gospel. Peter was. Yet Alan is telling us that Peter has, subsequent to the death and resurrection of Christ, has no other choice. He is forced, Peter is forced, because the gospel of the circumcision no longer exists. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel, Alan says. There's only one gospel. So poor Peter, now he has to forget the charge of the Lord. Now he's in the body of Christ. He's in the body of Christ now. And he no longer operates in accord with what Jesus taught him. But this is absurd. Of course he does. Of course he does. There's another verse in Matthew 19, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said to them, "Verily I'm saying to you that you who follow me in the renaissance, whenever the Son of Mankind should be seated on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones." He's talking to his disciples here, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Where is that going to be happening? On the earth. That's Peter's destiny. That's what he's concerned about. Peter did not jump ship to join Paul. Galatians 2:7 proves it. So to change that Peter is entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision, according as Paul is the uncircumcision, of to change that to two, and to say that Peter is taking the one and only gospel now, which is Paul's. And Alan will agree, there's many things of Paul that clash with what Jesus taught when he was on earth. Many things clash. So Peter is now teaching against himself. Peter is now, according to Alan Hess, teaching Paul's gospel, which clashes on many, many, many points with the gospel that Jesus Christ gave Peter the keys to when he was on earth. You call this easy? You call this believing in one gospel business easy? No, this is an absurdity. Galatians 2:7, properly translated, assures us that Peter is not going into Paul's gospel. Peter is giving Paul the right hand of fellowship, yes. And Alan also in that first video makes a big deal about Paul and Peter in Antioch, and that Peter played the hypocrite, and that he was eating with the nations. Alan jumps to the conclusion that just because Peter is eating with the nations, he must be in the body of Christ. No, he's merely acknowledging that the nations have a place. He's merely acknowledging that Paul has a legitimate gospel. It took a lot for Peter just to realize that Paul's gospel was legitimate. He had to have the vision. He had to have the sheet lowered down to show him the clean and the unclean animals. And this was to prepare him for Paul, because unless Peter gave Paul the right hand of fellowship, Paul would have stalled. Paul would have stalled in his tracks. But because Peter gave Paul the seal of approval, then it helped Paul get a foothold. You're reading into it, Alan, to say that means Peter became a member of the body of Christ. And then remember that incident at Antioch where Peter is eating with the Gentiles? And the Gentiles are happy because they think, okay, even the chief apostle of Jesus Christ is admitting by his actions that we have some part in the family of God. And having some part in the family of God is a general statement. I just made a general statement. You can be in the body of Christ or you can be part of the bride. You still have a part, don't you? You're still part of God's operations. So just the fact that Peter was eating with them, that was a big deal. Then when the James gang came in, when some from Jerusalem then came in, Peter played the hypocrite and he went away. So the nations would have thought, oh wow, maybe what Paul's telling us is not true anyway. This has nothing to do with Peter going from being a member of the body of Christ to going back to his old evangel. It's not his old evangel. It's his current evangel. It's his present evangel. It's his expectation. And it continued to be his expectation even after Paul began teaching, even after Jesus Christ died and rose. I mean, of course, after Jesus Christ died and rose, but Alan doesn't even believe that. All the circumcision guys were transferred to the body of Christ, according to Alan. Why stop at Peter? You'd have to put James in that same boat. You'd have to put John there. You'd have to put the gospel writers in there. Matthew, Mark, right? Well, Luke, we know that Luke actually did jump ship to join Paul's gospel. The others did not. I detail this clearly in my book, The First Idiot in Heaven, and I wish Alan would have read it, honestly. And I ask him to read it now. I'll send him a free autographed copy. You're born with an antenna for the circumcision or the uncircumcision gospel. You're selected beforehand for it. The circumcision gospel doesn't go away. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still in the Bible. Before I make one last point, I want to make sure I say this, that if what Alan is saying is true, then Peter and James and John are all in the body of Christ, and they all had to turn away from what Jesus taught them. And the only way that someone who had heard Jesus teach, let's say one of the throng that had heard Jesus teach the gospel of the circumcision as a minister of the circumcision to confirm the patriarchal promises. And this hypothetical person embraced Jesus Christ and loved the evangel of the circumcision, wanted to be on the earth, wants to be part of the 12 tribes, loves the idea of shepherding all the nations of the ground, like Abraham said. This guy, the only way he can still be in that kingdom is to die before Jesus Christ raises from the dead. Because as soon as Jesus Christ raises from the dead, this guy's automatically transferred into Paul's gospel, whether he likes it or not. What? Yeah. If you survive, if you're still alive after Jesus Christ dies and raises from the dead, then you're in Paul's gospel. You're part of Paul. There's only one gospel. The circumcision gospel is no longer going out. That's what Alan says. Only one gospel, only one gospel. Circumcision gospel is not going out anymore. Talk about confusing. That's confusing. And it's all based on a mistranslation. When you realize that all this nonsense is based on a mistranslation, you go, okay, wow, great. If it was based on some kind of fact, then we'd have to think about it. Well, maybe Alan's got a point. But when it's based, when he has to insist that Galatians 2:7 doesn't mean what it says, we'll just put a different word in there. We'll put the word to in there. I don't like the word of. It's interchangeable. No, it's not. It's not interchangeable. It is of, and that's clearly indicated in the Greek text. That being the case, we can breathe a sigh of relief. Peter is entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision. Even while Paul is alive, Peter and Paul are sitting at the same table. They're alive at the same time. They're getting along. They're fellowshipping. But they have completely different expectations. In Paul's gospel, there's neither Jew nor Greek. That message is fatal to Peter's gospel, because Peter was told by Jesus Christ himself that he is going to sit on one of 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That does not belong to a message that says there's neither Jew nor Greek. And as you know, there are many other differences between these two gospels. But they were running concurrently in Peter and Paul's day. All the circumcision writers, with the exception of Luke, they maintained their circumcision credentials. They maintained what they heard from Christ. Luke was not a disciple. Remember that. Luke was not a disciple of Christ. Not one of the disciples of Christ. This is ludicrous to think that one of the disciples of Christ, let alone all of them, could have abandon everything Jesus told them and gone to Paul and become members of the body of Christ, which is a different gospel than what Jesus taught. Fortunately, we don't have to believe anything as crazy as that, as wrong as that. We can believe that Peter maintained his gospel. Peter and Paul were friends. Peter says later some of the things Paul says are hard to understand. Peter probably tried to understand it. He appreciated it. He liked it, but he said, that's not for me. That's for Paul. Paul and Peter could have said the same thing. Paul was entrusted with the gospel of the uncircumcision according as I of the circumcision. The gospel of the circumcision is a particular gospel with certain traits, certain characteristics that are not to be mixed with the other gospel, not to be mixed. The gospel of the uncircumcision speaks of the character in the Greeks, the genitive case, not the dative case. Listen to my earlier video. And you know, the way I believe, maybe you don't, even today, the gospel of the circumcision, it's on the back burner, it's on hold. The gospel of the circumcision is not the active gospel, the gospel of Paul is. But can the gospel of the circumcision still be believed today? Of course it can. I believe the 144,000 are alive today and they're embracing the circumcision gospel. And I have proof for that, and we can talk about it. It's all in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 is a roadmap to what I just told you. I have scriptural evidence for everything I just told you. I have brought you scripture. Alan's been complaining. Nobody's bringing me scripture. Here it is. Here's the scripture, and I got a lot more if you want it.